Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
We are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
Live. We'll do it live.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. What, Rob? What are you talking about live?
Like, I'll write it and we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
You don't think we're live?
No, we're live.
We're all the way live. All the way live. And you know who's not all the way alive? The LA Clippers dead after that pathetic performance in Game 7 last night in the Western Conference second round against the Denver Nuggets. We will get into that for certain. We also got Big Ten news. Of course, they're playing football. We've been hinting at it, or they've been hinting at it, and we've been talking about it the last few days. Now it's official. The Big Ten will be back in October with college football, so we'll talk about that and so much more. And joining us at the bottom of this first hour, we'll have all the insight into college football and, of course, pro as well. Fox college football analyst, former Vikings and Ohio State running back, was a great one too. Robert Smith will join us. Let me welcome in my partner, Rob Parker. What's up, man? How are you?
What's happening? Hey, I just want people to know, you know, Chris, I know you know, people on Twitter and social media. First of all, I did not cry myself to sleep last night. I'm not a fan of the Clippers. Just because I picked them to win and I was wrong doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. Sometimes I don't understand if people actually get, or do they think, like, because you make a pick or because you pick against somebody else, you hate that person or that team or you're a fan of it. So I just want people to know. No, I'm not a Clippers fan. I don't have any gear. I've never been a Clippers fan, but I did pick them to win the championship, and they didn't do it. That's it.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. And, you know, I was on the shows today, First Things First, and Undisputed. So I felt the wrath of Nick Wright and Brandon Marshall on First Things First.
Which is fine. You know what I mean.
And then Shannon, of course. Skip and I felt the wrath on Undisputed. But, yeah. I was thinking about, because you're right. I mean, like I said yesterday, we're not cheerleaders.
Right.
I've never been a Clippers fan. I mean, obviously we try to be objective generally, but you've never been a Clippers fan. But you do pull for the team, your picks, because you want to be right, right?
We talk about it all the time.
And
that's our job.
And we brag, yes. And we brag and rights and all that. So
that's our job.
Right.
Is when we pick these things, you want to have some foresight. You want to be right. It's a big deal for analysts. That's what we do.
Right, right.
But we're wrong sometimes, and it's all right. Like I said, it's no skin off my app. I've been right a lot. I've been wrong too. So
you've been wrong a lot too.
No, I said
don't,
I've
don't
been
make
wrong.
It. Don't
Not
make
a lot.
It better. I've
no,
been right
a lot.
Lot. I've been wrong every
lot.
Now and then. You're wrong a lot too.
I've been right a lot.
Everybody's been right and everybody's been wrong, and it's all in fun. But yeah. You know, hey, fans bring it. I heard that I was getting killed on social media. I haven't looked
Why
at
are
it.
You?
That's what I hear. People been saying that to
and
me.
And people
but
saying,
I paid
oh,
attention
Rob blocked
to
me. Guys, that, this is what I
did
don't
Did you
understand.
Block some people today?
Yes, I did.
Oh, if, my if, God.
Here's my only thing.
I'm shocked, Rob, honestly, because you are obviously on this show, we go at it, you know, all the time. Callers, you know, some of them go at you, some of them don't. We've been trash talked on our own show. You seem to be a guy that, you know, somebody going at you or disagreeing doesn't bother you. So I'm not surprised that you block people.
It's not about disagreeing with me. If you were to make your case, is when people try to tell you what you said. And they have a false narrative that's going, Chris, that guy I can't get through to. Do you see what I'm saying? He has a false narrative. He's saying something that I never said. To that guy, I don't have any time for him. If you just have a criticism
on my
pick.
But you block a lot of people. That's what everybody that you block is creating a false narrative?
Yes. And here's the other part that to me, I don't get. Then they go on my Instagram and say, unblock me. Why did you block me? If somebody blocked me, I'd leave it at that. I would go on my Instagram and then block me, right? Why would you go on your Instagram and ask me to unblock you on Twitter?
I generally don't block people. What it is, Rob, the reason people do that is because there's something called, I call them Twitter muscles, but it probably is more aptly defined as social media muscles. Because I have never, and you know how it is when we go out, you know, obviously people recognize you. They want
to
take pictures.
Nice to you.
And I've been on TV now almost 20 years, national TV. Never one time of the thousands of people who have come up to me for a picture, you know, obviously not many people ask for autographs anymore, but just whatever, to talk, whatever. Nobody has ripped me. Nobody has been like rude, nothing. And yet on Twitter, you got all these people killing you, right? But I never see any of them in public. So I'm sure that it's some of these guys, they got Twitter muscles, but if you ever see them in person, they want to be friendly. And one thing, I don't respond to a lot of them, but a few times when I have, Rob, like if somebody says something, and you go back at them. But, you know, now, obviously, you're conversing with them. Then they're like, hey, you know, it's almost like they want to be cool now.
Right.
Because they
got
a dialogue
attention.
With you. Right. And it's like almost like they were just trying to say something to get your attention. So now I really don't even respond because, as you said, you're giving them more attention.
Right.
You might have a dude with 30 followers who rips you. And if you respond, now all of a sudden you're giving him a big platform that he normally wouldn't have. So that's kind of how I handle it.
Well, the Clippers didn't handle their big platform last night.
No, they did not. And we are about to get into that. Let's first introduce the iCouple crew. Of course, he's back on a Worship Wednesday. DJ Alex Tyshirt, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan. We got Lee DeLapp, the super producer, in for Rob G. And hey, it's Mr. Brian Finley with the updates. All right, Rob, let's get right to it. Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers go down meekly. Not only do they lose in the second round, but they lose a 3-1 lead. And on top of that, they had double-digit leads in each of the last three games, including last night. They were about 12 in the second quarter. And so here's the question I want to throw out to you, Rob. Does this change your view? I mean, and you said it last, I think it was about a week ago, week and a half ago, you said Kawhi Leonard is the best player in the world. Does this change your view of Kawhi Leonard? You're not necessarily going for, you know, I mean, he's got years to rewrite his legacy or add to it or whatever. But for the time being, does this change your view of Kawhi Leonard?
Sure.
He was 6-for-22 with 14 points. None in the fourth quarter.
But he choked. It was a choke job. And it was as shocking as anything I've ever witnessed in sports.
Really?
And I've been covering sports for 35 years.
Wow. Clippers?
No, Kawhi.
Him or the
Kawhi.
Wow.
Kawhi. Okay. Because that's why they got him. Because he is a cool customer. Because he is a guy you could count on. He was the guy in Game 7 last year for Toronto that made the big shot to beat the 76ers. That's why you got him, Chris. That was the reason. And to not show up in the biggest game of the year is a choke job. And I'm not going to mince words. And does that mean that he can't play and negates everything that he's done in his career? Or what will he do? No. And for all of the Laker fans celebrating, they have short memories when it comes to LeBron. Because if that's the case, we could have buried LeBron when they lost to Dallas and he melted down in that series, Chris, and said that was it for LeBron, right? But it wasn't it. He rebounded and won some championships after that terrible series against the Mavericks, which they should have won. Or most people thought they should have won.
They should have won that.
And LeBron played poorly. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to me, you got to be careful before you write somebody off. But he choked last night, and everything that they had put in their basket, and I'm not saying he has to be the almighty savior, Chris, and Paul George didn't do his part either. But the one guy, if you would have told me that that 90% of the team wouldn't show up, the one guy I would be hard to believe wouldn't show up would have been Kawhi Leonard, and he didn't show up last night.
You're right. The bottom, there's no way to sugarcoat it, and a few things. Number one, he is not the best player in the world. Would you agree with that, Rob, or are you still on
I
that?
I said, after that, it's hard to make an argument for
right. The best player in the world is still LeBron James. I mean, let's look at the candidates. Giannis Antetokounmpo, obviously, is limitations in his game. Kawhi, great, obviously, still a great player. Nobody's saying he's not great, but, you know, he didn't deliver. Couldn't even get his team out of second round against an inferior opponent. Nikola Jokic, not there yet. Luka Doncic, James Harden. Harden did Harden-like things and as they lost in the second round. LeBron James is still the best player in the world. We'll see if that ends up in the championship. But that's number one. Number two, like you said, Rob, Kawhi's 29 years old. His legacy is not written. Now, he's already got two championships, so he's a made man
to
some degree.
And two finals MVPs. Right. He's got...
But Magic Johnson had this moment. Tragic Johnson, they called him in 1984. Best point guard ever dribbled out the clock. Think about that. Isaiah Thomas had his moment.
Had it, game the five, ball stolen by Magic by Larry Bird.
Yep.
Famous
one
call.
One of the top, in my book, the third, fourth best point guard ever. Larry Bird, first finals, Rob, he had an 8-point game, and a 12-point game. Think about that. Three games, 8-8-12.
And you they would not believe in that he's one of the greatest players ever.
So in LeBron, as you mentioned, 2011 against Dallas. So it happens. Will Kawhi, and I think we both believe he will, but will he learn from this and bounce back the way those guys did and become a stronger player? Now, here's what I have to say about his legacy. And it's, you know, like I said, it's not set. But as I began to think about this, Rob, really closely, I looked at it and said, you know what? This is actually the first time, I believe, that Kawhi has had to carry the burden of expectations. And LeBron James has carried it basically his whole career. And I'm not trying to make this about LeBron, but that's just an example. This is the first time I believe Kawhi's really had to carry it as a favorite. As now we expect it from you. Now we're saying, heck, Colin Cowherd, our buddy, was saying he'd be a top five player of all time when they win it. And if you look at his first championship, yes, he was the finals MVP, but it wasn't his team. He didn't carry him. He was a role player. He averaged 13 points that year. It was Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker, and even Greg Popovich. That was the team. There was nothing expected of Kawhi. Yes, he was a great defender at that point and did a good job on LeBron, but anything he gave you was gravy. Toronto, he goes there. Nobody's expecting him to lead them to anything. You know, yeah, make the playoffs, you go deep. Nobody was expecting a championship, and he was great. I'm not taking anything away from what he did in the playoffs. But, you know, it was house money. It was like, you know, nobody was saying they're going to win the East. They're going to win the championship. No one expected anything. And he went through some immature young guys in the East, the Philadelphia 76ers. We know how immature they are. Giannis, we know he wasn't ready. And then when he gets to the finals, again, not taking it away from him, but Rob, you know we nitpick with the greats. And Durant's hurt, and then Klay gets hurt. And so that is a great championship, no asterisks, but those were the facts. And this was the first time now he's coming in as the king or one of the kings, him and LeBron and Giannis. He was on that level. We're expecting it from you, Kawhi. You're going to deliver. Most of us, right? You, me, most of the analysts, ex-players, most pick the Clippers. You got commercials now where you're saying, I'm the king of L.A., right? You got a new shoe. Everything. You got the commercial where you say, oh, you know how it ends. You know, all of that. Expectations. And he crumbled. Doesn't mean he'll crumble the rest of his career, but he crumbled under the weight of expectations, which I say was the first time in his career he really had to carry him. Because he's been kind of the underdog his whole career. San Diego State, low, you know, not much of a ballyhoo draft pick. You know, role player with the superstars in San Antonio. No one expects anything in Toronto. And this was the first time he had to carry that weight. And it didn't end well. All right, 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. What do you guys think? Well, does this impact the way you view Kawhi Leonard, at least for the time being? I know a lot of you thought he was the best player in the world. What are you thinking right now? 877-99 on Fox. You'll be able to discuss it with Rob and myself.
Hey, Chris, we got a comment from Kawhi Leonard about his performance last night.
I think that was crying instead of laughing.
Even Craig Melvin's laughing at that.
All right, well, speaking of funny or maybe not funny, erectile dysfunction. It's not funny when you're the one suffering from it. And talking about it, not easy. Usually dudes just brush it off, blame themselves. You know, I lost my mojo, bae. I'm tired. Long day at work. Sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. Put on something sexy or whatever it might be. Whatever your go-to excuse is. With Roman, you don't need a go-to excuse because it's easy to talk about it with a healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication to boot. Simple, safe, and totally discreet. That's the key. Totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED. All from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And get this, if medication's appropriate, Roman will even ship it to you free with two-day shipping. So you have it in 2 days, you'll be able to get your groove on, your Mac on, your Play on, Playboy on right away. The whole process is easy and discreet. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle. Now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/iCouple today. If approved, you get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/iCouple. GetRoman.com/iCouple.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let it marinate. Let it marinate in your soul. It's a worship Wednesday. Get all the garbage out and let the praise come in. All right. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's right. 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. It's just a great deal, brothers. What are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by this date, October 7th. So visit GEICO.com to learn more. All right, 877-99 on Fox. We threw it out to you quickly. Let's get to the calls. Does this change the way you feel about Kawhi Leonard after last night's performance?
All right, Jabril in Atlanta, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What you got?
Yeah, it don't change the way I feel about him because I never thought that he was, like, the greatest player in the NBA, but I feel like he's going to change the way a lot of other people, like, look at him. I think he's going to go back down to not to say normal because he is a great player. Like, right. I can't take nothing away from him, but like when he beat Golden State, everybody just put him on that pedestal. It was like, you know, Golden State was like injured. You know what I'm saying? Like they had Clay Thompson,
Golden State
Steph
won
Curry
a championship like that too, though, Jabril, and people were hot on them.
Who did?
Golden State.
Golden State?
Yeah, they won a championship. Everybody was hurt. All the guards, right,
well,
Chris?
Well, the best player wasn't
the best
hurt.
Player.
I'm saying
yeah,
as a,
LeBron
as a team. I'm
but
saying
yeah, Kyrie
team,
and Kevin Love.
I'm saying like as a team, the way we look at a person, though, that's like one player. That was like a team, you know. We can't
now,
take
look,
away.
You're right. He did raise. There's no doubt. And deservedly so. He was great. It wasn't just that they won. He was phenomenal in those playoffs. And, yeah, that did put him on a whole different level. And I, like I said, it put him on the level where people were expecting stuff. I mean, Rob, you, and I'm not even throwing shade. You, Doug Gottlieb, but a lot of people were saying he's the best player in the world. And so now that comes with great expectations for the,
and when,
to me,
and when
the first time in his career.
And when he started the playoffs, he did something that nobody had done since Michael Jordan through the first seven games. And we were talking about he was averaging 29 or more every game. And that was since what, Chris, 1988? I can't remember the year that Jordan had done it. But he had that. And he was shooting 64% from, you know, inside
from
the three.
But he was right. He was bricking from three, though.
But
he
I'm
was
just
under
saying
30% from three.
But it
you,
was,
that was fitting it, your narrative, you know. I
it
had
worked.
To call
64%
you out on that.
And 64% I'll take. Tony in DC, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Tony?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up, man? We good.
Hey, I guess I said I thought the Clippers were going to win. So me, Chris, and you, Rob, we're part of that band that's on that sinking ship called the SS Clipper.
Yeah.
Rob's on the drums. Chris is the lead singer. I'm the guitar player.
And the band kept playing as the Titanic went down.
The band kept playing. So yep. We all part of it. But I think Kawhi, his legacy will be more defined by how he responds to this. Now we're going to see what you're made of, okay? Right. How are you going to treat the offseason?
That's a good point.
You're going to come back strong because all those guys you mentioned before came back better.
Yes.
They worked
yes.
on their weaknesses. The thing is, you know, Chris, I sent you a question today. It was just hypothetical. Do you think the Clippers will package up Paul George, get Harold to agree to a sign and trade, and maybe throw in Shamit and send him to Philly for Embiid? Just a question, hypothetical.
So Shamit, George, who, and Harrell?
Yeah, on a sign and trade for Embiid.
They might do it. I don't know if Philly would do it right away, you know, that maybe a year from now. I think they want to give it a shot with their two young guys. But that's not a bad, because I was thinking about that today, Rob and Tony. Is Paul George good enough as your second guy? I mean, because Kawhi's not going to do this consistently. You know what I mean? 14 points. But Paul George, every fourth playoff game or something, he does this. He hit the side of the backboard, Rob.
Looked like one of my shots.
I mean, he was open, too. I mean, it wasn't like wide open, but it was an open shot. The side of the backboard. I don't know. That's not a bad idea, Tony. I would do it if I was the Clippers. I'd probably do it. I'd think about it a little longer. But sounds good on the surface. But interesting. No doubt about it. All right, we're going to switch a little bit to college football. Obviously, big news. The Big Ten is back. Nobody better to talk about it than our Fox Sports college football analyst, Robert Smith, great friend of the show. He joins us next. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. We are glad to have him back in the fold during college football season. He's a Fox Sports college football analyst, former Vikings and Ohio State great. The great running back, commentator, renaissance man,
friend of
the Odd Couple, Robert Smith, Ohio homeboy, all that. What's up, Robert? Great. Welcome to the show, brother.
What's happening, fellas? You guys aren't in studio, are you, together?
No,
man. I'm in Jersey. Rob's in L.A.
I haven't seen Chris in 6 months.
Right. Since March, I've been here.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, because if you leave Jersey, you have to, like, quarantine and stuff, too, right? Like, when you come back?
I guess so.
I have no idea when I'm coming back. It was just lifted. Chris is never coming back. Chris is never coming back to L.A. I'm telling you, Robert, never. I already know that.
Well, you know how it is, Robert. I mean, we're able to do TV and everything from you know, remotely. Yeah. I love it, to be honest. But, you know, of course, I'll come back when I have to. But
yeah, all right.
But let's get, speaking of coming back, Robert, of course, the Big Ten is coming back. How do you feel about this decision? And do you think it makes the Big Ten look foolish for what they did on August 11th? Or you just understand the whole thing and just give us your general feelings?
Well, I don't really think it makes them look foolish because I think people make decisions based on the information that they have. And when you started hearing the stories about myocarditis in particular, right, and what kind of health impact that could have, you know, my brother died in 2017 and he was only 48. And that's, you know, same age I am now. And he died from cardiomyopathy, which myocarditis can lead to, which is heart failure caused by an enlarged heart. And so when they started talking about that, it made sense to me, and I thought it was the right decision. Now, what I didn't know was why they made the decision then and why they didn't just wait for new information to come out. And I think what's happened here now, the information on myocarditis, the screening that they're going to be doing, I think the rarity of the actual cases that develop from COVID and the rapid testing. Now, you know, this is different testing. And, you know, I don't know how closely you guys have seen this, but, you know, what they've talked about in the Pac-12 and I think which is the reason that the states have kind of changed their minds about what they're going to do with the colleges is, you know, the three NFL teams in California were given exemptions, and the testing that they're going to be doing in college is actually better at preventing community spread than what's going on in the NFL right now. I don't know if the NFL is going to change their protocols, but they're doing this antigen testing, which, you know, they'll do it every 24 hours and the results come back in 15 minutes. Whereas the NFL, it's a different type of testing and it can take 24 hours. And theoretically, it's possible that people can get missed under that type of protocol, testing protocol, as opposed to what the colleges are doing. So it's going to be even better, that testing. So you combine those two elements, the information on myocarditis and the new rapid testing that they're going to have, I think it was the right choice.
The only thing that seems weird to me, Robert, was on the height of these announcements, LSU had most of their football team with it. And what was the other school?
A couple schools. Texas Tech had like 75
players. Texas Tech had 75 players. You know what I mean? So it was weird that you had these outbreaks and everybody said, okay, let's go back and play college football. It's okay to play.
Well, again, this is a different testing protocol. So, you know, you can miss some of those players under that old testing protocol because you have 24 hours. I mean, it takes 24 hours to get the results from those old tests. So it's possible you test somebody and they're already around somebody. They're already infectious. Whereas with this new testing, they'll catch people before they're around anybody else and they have an infectious amount of the virus in their system, which is why I'm saying it's a better testing system.
Robert, so the Big Ten is scheduling their stuff, their games, so they can get in like 8 games before, you know, it's time for the college football playoff rankings. Do you think that, I'm assuming the SEC and the other conferences may play 10 or 11 games by then. Do you think that'll put, you know, an Ohio State or whoever is at the top of the Big Ten at a disadvantage as far as getting into that top four and being in the playoff?
Well, I think it really could, and what could be even more of a reason is kind of what's happened over the last couple of years, and what the Big Ten has done inside of the playoffs, having teams getting shut out, that could hurt it just as much. But you know, even if the SEC has all those games scheduled, we don't know what's going to happen with that. We can guess, and maybe they'll move over to this better testing system. They can catch more people. Maybe so many people have gotten it already that only the guys that would get it or that they would catch under it have already gotten it. I think it could definitely impact because you're not going to have as many games and you're not going to have any games outside of conference to validate your performance within the conference.
Hey, Robert, you're calling the game. You'll do color on the Vikings-Colts for Fox this Sunday, and the Vikings got beat up pretty well by Aaron Rodgers. How big of a game is this for the Vikings? That was pretty amazing because, you know, the Vikings are about their defense, and they didn't have much on Sunday. What do you make of this game? How important is it?
Well, it's a very important game. You know, you look at teams historically that go 0-2 and the problems that they have making it into the playoffs and advancing. And you hit the nail on the head. You know, you talk about the pass defense for the Vikings. You know, they went young. You know, they lost all those corners from last year. Got a lot of young cornerbacks. And, you know, we see this in college a lot. You know, it doesn't happen as much in the NFL, even with free agency, where you have this huge turnover on one side of the ball. And then, you know, you combine, you know, Pierce decided to sit out the season. You had Danielle Hunter injured. So you had a lot of guys on that defensive line, new faces. They weren't able to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. You combine that with a young secondary, and it's a formula for disaster, because you give him any more time than he needs, then, you know, he can carve you apart. He made some incredible throws, really, you know, kind of the Aaron Rodgers of the past, for people that thought he was slipping in the Jordan Love being drafted up there, were the signs that the old man was on his way out.
Robert, we got 30 seconds left. On the other side, of course, the Colts need to win, too. They don't want to start 0-2 with expectations to maybe win that division. What you saw from Phillip Rivers, a lot of people kind of expecting a bounce-back year from him with Frank Reich, but he did obviously throw the bad interception. Did you feel it was kind of, this is what Phillip Rivers is now, and we saw it last year, and it's just going to continue? Or do you think he will have that bounce-back year?
Well, usually I'd defer to Frank Reich, and with his experience, obviously with Phillip Rivers out there in San Diego, he saw enough to think that he still had it. But, you know, he looked a little bit slow, and with his release, the ball didn't have the juice. And there were really three times that he threw the ball to the other team. One of the interceptions wasn't as bad, didn't see the safety coming down, and he threw a really bad pass on a screen. Now that interception got overturned because of a penalty. But yeah, man, to me, you know, he looked like he was struggling. But, you know, they want to try and run the football, and obviously Marlon Mack is going to be out, but Jonathan Taylor and this Hines kid is quick. I mean, he's real quick. So they're going to try and balance things out with that run. And with Minnesota's young defense, again, not being able to apply pressure, the great offensive line for Indianapolis, it should be an interesting game.
That's our man, Robert Smith, Fox Sports college football analyst. Also, we'll be on the call, the Vikings at the Colts this Sunday on Fox. Make sure you check it out. Robert, thanks as always, brother.
Stay
we appreciate
safe.
It.
All right, fellas. Stay safe, man.
All right, my man. Peace. All right, how much of the blame for the Clippers' collapse should fall on the head coach? The popular favorite, Doc Rivers. We'll get into that next. It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. And speaking of clouds, there's a lot of clouds hovering over the Staples Center, Inglewood. Where is that, where they going to be in the future?
Yeah,
the Clippers?
They're knocking down the old... Great Western Forum. You remember those days, Chris?
That's right. That's right.
You never covered a game there, right?
Yes, I did.
Did you really?
Yep. I started covering the league in 95, so maybe 2 years, maybe something like that.
Great Western Forum, yes.
Well, you know what was interesting, Rob, and I know you saw this even more than me. You know, you grow up seeing these stadiums, these arenas that
from
all
outside,
these great games
from outside.
Or even just watching on TV, right? Dr. J's in the Spectrum in Philly, Chicago Stadium, which obviously the Bulls weren't very good back then, but Boston Garden, the Forum. Those are the main three, the Spectrum, the Forum, Boston Garden. And then as a reporter, I went to them to cover games, and let's just say they weren't state of the art. How about that, right?
No, be honest, you know, Chris. It was a dump.
They were dumps.
The Great Western Forum
right.
was a dump.
Oh, my gosh. It was a trip because at that time, you did have several new arenas.
That place,
like Cleveland, I was covering the Cavaliers. They were in Gund Arena at that time, it was called, and it was new. And so it was nice, and then you go to the Forum, you're like, what? The Spectrum,
Fest.
What?
Yep.
It was just crazy. But anyway.
And real quick, in the Spectrum, the mouse was in. We once had a mouse in the press box where we were sitting.
I believe it.
There was a mouse in there. And you should have seen the guys jumping. All right.
Oh, man.
Doc Rivers might be jumping off the plank.
Well, look, Rob, and I don't think you're going to hear a lot of media talk about this because, you know, Doc is great with the media. He's a great politician, and he's a generally an all-around good guy. Like, I like Doc. You can't really help but like Doc. But, Rob, I can't defend not only what happened this year, but Doc's track record in L.A., period. I mean, he was brought, Vinny Del Negro, who he replaced, was getting him to the second round. And you had all that talent, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. I know sometimes they got injured in the playoffs, but you never got them past the second round. And this year, and look, you can justify bringing Doc back because, you know, you can say, hey, we had injuries, the pandemic. We never, you know, got a chance to really establish chemistry. And there's truth to that. So you can justify it.
Or you could say, when your two stars shoot 10 for 37, I don't care who's coaching, Chris. You're not going to win.
There was a lot you could see.
I'm just saying.
They didn't adjust.
You could use that the big guys didn't show up is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's one game. What happened in game six and seven, five and six?
If you want to make a case, I'm not saying that's the case.
I wouldn't say that would be the – but you can make that if you want. But I saw a lot. I didn't see adjustments that like Mike Malone made adjustments that got them back into the series and obviously won it for them. I didn't see good defense. I didn't see good execution. I didn't see guys being held accountable. Doc even said dudes were fatigued. And I get it. These are pros. It's not like high school. You can just make somebody run suicide drills. But you got to make sure your guys are in shape. And so I'm just saying Doc should not. Now, I'm not saying he has to be fired, but he should not escape unscathed, Rob, because this was I thought he got outcoached by Rick Carlisle in the first round against Dallas, and I thought he got outcoached by Mike Malone in the second round.
I just think if he's open to be fired. If you can't get fired after the expectations and what happened and collapsing at 3-1, I'm just going to be real about it. I don't care who's the coach, the situation. If you don't get fired off of that, Chris, I don't know if you could ever get fired. Well, what else could it be? Like you have to finish in last place? No, I'm just saying the expectations were there. You had the horses. Everybody liked the roster. When they played together
and you've
before
been there
this,
7 years.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So you're right. I could see it happening, and I don't think most people would be shocked. If I was the owner and I looked at what happened and what went down, and he's been there, and he wasn't the guy that I hired, right? When I bought the team, he was already there.
Right.
Chris, at this point, you could cut bait and move on, and no one could be mad at Steve Ballmer.
Well, and remember, Rob, you got possibly or maybe probably the heir apparent right there on the bench in Ty Lue. If you keep Doc this year, Ty Lue will likely be gone, right? Because he's probably going to get one of these jobs. And so you could lose the guy that you would want to replace Doc, too. So they got a lot to think about. And I'm with you. I mean, nobody could say a word if they fired him. I mean, he's been there 7 years and hadn't gotten it done. All right, 2 hours left. You know what to do. Keep it locked.